Hinduism, as the name that we know of, is actually a misnomer because it is not an ism. Mm-hmm. The reason I'm saying that is there is no single founder or even single group of founders at a particular given time. At a particular given time. So we really cannot call it as an ism. But how did the word Hinduism came about? Briefly, the culture and civilization of the people living in the banks of the Sindhu River and long, long ago, and that was called as Sindhu and Hindu. That's how that word came. So the actual name for what we call as Hinduism is Sanatana Dharma. Very simple actually. Sanatana means perennial or eternal, which will not go out of existence, whatever the principles. And Dharma is called that. So Dharma is principles and Sanatana is eternal. So the eternal principles of life, of existence, of universe, of nature, so that is what is called as Hinduism. So whenever we use the word Hinduism, our mindset should be in this. Because normally we always compare with what we have heard, what we know. But this is what really is termed as Sanatana Dharma, or eternal principles of life. Now the question is, are there anything eternal? That's just a very valid question, because we see things changing all the time. And over the time immemorial, human beings, with effort of their purity in their austerity and making their mind pure, their purpose of life pure, whom we call as sages and rishis in Sanskrit. Rishi means a seer. Mm-hmm. Anyone who sees the reality is called as a rishi. So there are hundreds and thousands of such rishis who have experienced and realized in their inner sanctum sanctorum the principles that are eternal to their life. So that is really what is the record of these rishis, what we call as Sanatana Dharma. And when they uttered with that states of experience, we call it as mantra. The word mantra is nothing but an utterance of the experience from the deepest states of meditation. It's not a feeling. It is an experience that, yes, I know it. And I'm sure all of us have got that in our own lives. If you go back and sum up, there are certain things you know for sure. I mean, there's nobody can, whether other person agrees with you or not, you know for sure. So that's, you know, like what we call as a real experience. So so mantra is that. And such collection of mantras, thousands and thousands and thousands, is really inexhaustible. We call as Veda. So we use a lot of terms here. So the Veda is the body of knowledge which are in the form of mantras by the seers called rishis. And that forms the foundational scriptures or foundational literature of Sanatana Dharma. So this is one important point. Then what did they say? So what it is compared to a modern, it's like several scientists and researchers have studied the nature and then have come up with various findings. And if you collect all of them, we call it as a body of literature. So Sanatana Dharma is referring to that. And this Sanatana Dharma, the sages have clearly, without any doubt, are told there is a changeless existence. There is a principle which exists without any change, against which all changes are reckoned. So to give an example, we have a stage, and on the stage performance is going on. So the performances are changing, but the stage is not. To give another example, on the screen the movies are being shown. So people are reacting to the movies, but the screen is not moving. So a lot of these metaphors are important to see, because then it will help us to focus ourselves into this. And that is what we call Brahman. Brahman, the word Brahman, you might have heard of that, Brahman. So Brahman etymologically means to expand. So this changeless, eternally existent principle is all around. So that is in me, in you, in everywhere. Both animate and inanimate, everywhere that is simply all-pervading, a warp and woof in the whole thing. And again at which all changes are happening. So what is the goal of us then? What is the purpose of our human life? Our purpose of human life, Hindu sages, rishis tells us that we have to connect to that changeless principle. The moment we because it is within us also. So from the individual, from the local reference, we have to go to the global or cosmic or universal reference. So there is changeless entity inside us, there is a changeless entity everywhere else. So the connection has to be made. Now the question is, once we make the connection, you will know it. Because it is only that you have to prove yourself. Beyond doubt, beyond any feelings, beyond any thing. It is something that you know for sure. Then why is that if it is then what is the difficulty if everybody can know it? Because it is in them, it is out there. But the thing is, when I say it is in us, that entity within us is covered by a lot of shells. It's a lot of shells. Mm-hmm. And we call it as shells of senses. Shells of vital energy, shell of mind, shell of intellect. You know, so this whole body is included. So you have several sheets, which is covering this this entity. Like if you take a coconut for example, there is a tenderness inside, and then you see a lot of shells and shells, and then the green shell outside. So one has to go through and one has to clear all these shells, which many times act as barriers rather than helping. So one has to work through that, and the question is, how do we achieve that? How do we go through that? So there are many ways. One way is called as the method of knowledge, method of jnana we call. And the other is method of devotion. And the other is method of selfless service. It is not that one is without the other. One has to have a combination of all these, but one can focus on one prime way for oneself. So the method of knowledge is analyzing, studying the scriptures, going into the depths of that, to which the method of devotion can support, or should support, and devotion, and the method of selfless service. So similarly, you can make method of devotion as the primary, and the method of knowledge and method of selfless service can support. Similarly, method of selfless service can be the predominant, whereas the knowledge and devotion can support. So all of this, and this is what we call as the yoga in the broadest sense. Yeah.
Method of knowledge.
Method of devotion. Method of selfless service. Service. Action, service, action.
Yoga falls under the self.
Yoga combines all these. Yoga, that is why we call bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, karma yoga.
Okay.
So yoga is basically the method that takes us from the local, the individual entity inside, to the cosmic. So that making the connection.
So it's more than physical exercise.
Right, of course.
So in modern Western society in America,
right,
it seems like that's been lost.
That's correct.
So yoga is meant to have a spiritual...
That's correct. In fact, the great sage Yajnavalkya, in one of the very well-known Upanishads, tells very clearly ayam vaha paramo dharmaha yad yogen atma darshanam. Darshana means seeing. Atman is Brahman outside and Atman inside. So what is that one has to achieve from yoga is to see the Atman everywhere. See the Brahman everywhere. That's the goal. Now, in order to do that, one has to go through several steps. And there are physical steps, there are physio-psychological steps, and they all come under, in this process of yoga, what we call the eight limbs of yoga. Eight limbs.
Limbs.
Anga. Yeah. So, the first two, it's very interesting, the ethics, yama and niyama we call, yes, ethics of, like truthfulness, straightforwardness, and humility, cleanliness, contentment. So all of these are essential. So even before going to the physical level of yoga, that means it is very important that one has to practice this in addition to practicing the physical exercise. The third step is called as the physical posture. Asana we call. That is what really everybody is talking about in general. Yoga asana they say. But that is the third step which succeeds after the basic ethics that we talked about, spiritual ethics. And then we have, after that, we have pranayama. That is the regulation of the vital energy. The vital energy which is manifested as breathing. Inhale, exhale. So pranayama is dealing with the inner energy behind that. Then we have higher levels or deeper levels of dealing with the mind itself. Because whenever we have an interaction with an object outside, what is happening is we are getting connected. So this higher level, that the fifth level, is what we call as the pratyahara. Then we go into the meditation, contemplation, meditation, fixing one's mind on the object, sacred object. So meditation is actually the seventh step. And the eighth step is the one which brings us to the experiential levels of Bhargavidya, the cosmic thing that we talked about. So yoga is the process. And yoga is important because that is really bringing in to out.